Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your love, and we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray during this moment now, you would speak. Would you challenge, would you shape, would you transform us as a church so that we bring you greater glory and greater worship? May we bring you the honour that you are worthy of, for you are an awesome God. You're powerful and mighty and loving and kind. You are the creator God. You are the eternal God. You are the God who is inviting us, your children, into eternity, into paradise with you, Lord. There is so much that is worthy of praise. You are awesome. We love you. And I pray that during this moment, you would be glorified as I preach. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just going to move this. So, 2 weeks ago, you might remember last week we had Tim Blaber with us. It was great to have him with us. But 2 weeks ago, I preached from Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, the day the church was born. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon the apostles, upon the disciples. There were tongues of fire on their heads and a sound like a great rushing wind. And the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. And Peter, the apostle, stood up before a great crowd of people and preached the gospel. And 3,000 souls were saved. 3,000 people believed in the good news, gave their lives to Christ, and entered into faith, entered into the church. The question that we're going to talk about this morning is this: what happens next? 3,000 people are saved. There's a church of 3,000 people. What was the church like in those early days? What did the church do after the day of Pentecost? And that is a very, very important question. And the reason it's an important question is because our goal is not to be a hip and trendy church rewriting the rule book, doing things differently than they've been done before. No, our goal is to be devoted disciples of Jesus Christ, just like they were 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem in the book of Acts. We're not trying to rewrite the rule book. We're trying to follow Jesus and the instructions that he gave to his disciples. We want to follow those instructions as well. So when we're asking what was the church like in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, what we're actually asking is what shall we be like as the church? What shall we be like as Christians today in 2021? So as I read to you Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I like these people described in these verses? Is this church like what is described in these verses? Because that is the challenge and encouragement to us this morning. This is the kind of church that we want to be at Christ Church Fareham. So let me read to you Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, and the words should appear on the screen. It won't. Okay, the words won't appear on the screen, so you just have to listen very carefully. Acts chapter 2, if you've got a Bible, you can obviously follow along in your own Bible, but Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The same things that the church was devoted to in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago are the same things that we must be devoted to as Christians in 2021. And I believe this morning that some of us are going to be challenged. Some of us are going to be shaken. Some of us need to be broken out of complacency and laziness. Because I'm going to ask us this morning, are we going to live with the devotion of these disciples described in Acts chapter 2? Are you going to live with the devotion of a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you going to join with us? We're going to do this together. This is a challenge for us to receive together. This is a journey and an adventure for us to go on together. Are you going to join with us to live as a devoted disciple of Jesus Christ? Now, you might notice in those verses that in verse 46 and in verse 47, the writer of Acts, a man called Luke, uses the phrase day by day. In other words, this devotion that the apostles and the disciples and the believers were showing in Acts chapter 2 was not a devotion on a Sunday and then apathy on a Monday. No, it was day by day, everyday devotion, everyday commitment to these things described in this chapter. So, there are four things that the believers were devoted to in verse 42. And we're going to look at those four things that they were devoted to. So, there we go. We've got it on the screen. Beautiful. Thanks, guys. So, what four things were the believers devoted to in Acts chapter 2? Firstly, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. The people would gather daily. They would gather daily in the temple together, and they would also gather in each other's homes. And when they gathered, whether they were in the temple or in people's homes, the apostles would stand in the community, in the fellowship, and teach. Now remember, at this point in time, the New Testament hadn't been written down yet. It was the start of the church. The apostles hadn't written down their gospels. And Paul wasn't even a Christian at this point. In fact, he was probably persecuting and killing Christians. So he hadn't written his letters yet. So they didn't have the New Testament. And so what would happen when they gathered was the apostles would stand up and they would teach. And some of that teaching would be from the Old Testament scriptures. Do you remember Peter's sermon? He quoted often from the Old Testament over and over again. And he was explaining what the Old Testament meant, the Old Testament scriptures. So some of the apostles' teaching would be from the Old Testament. But a great deal of the apostles' teaching would have been focused on the life, death, resurrection, the teaching and the miracles of Jesus Christ. And they would also, the apostles' teaching would also be focused on the gospel of grace, forgiveness, and eternal life for all who repent and believe in Jesus Christ. I would have loved to have been there to hear this amazing teaching. Peter standing up and saying, I saw Jesus die on the cross. And then I saw him risen from the grave. Thomas standing up and saying, I put my hands in the holes in his wrists. I was there. I saw him raised from the grave. And do you know why he was raised from the grave? To show that he has authority over death, so that all who believe in him might have eternal life and live forever. It would have been amazing to hear this apostle's teaching that the people were devoted to. They were devoted to it. They loved to gather and to listen to this teaching. Do you know, when we gather on a Sunday and we preach from the Bible, the reason we preach from the Bible is so that we're not devoted to Duncan's teaching or Dio's teaching or Jason's teaching or Jeff's teaching. No, we're devoted to the apostles' teaching, which was written down for us in the Bible. The New Testament is the summary of the apostles' teaching. And this is why we're so keen to always preach from the Word, because we want to be devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the eyewitnesses of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection from the dead. And so I want to ask you, are you devoted to the apostles' teaching? Are you excited to come on a Sunday and hear the Bible preached and proclaimed? That's one way to be devoted, to say Sundays is set aside for me to go and be with the Lord's people and to hear the apostles' teaching read from the Bible and to learn from God's word. So are you devoted in that sense to the apostles' teaching? You love to come on a Sunday and hear the word preached. But of course, to be devoted to the apostles' teaching today is not just to come on a Sunday. Rather, it's to be reading the Bible, studying the Bible, learning from the Bible, submitting to the God's teaching, the apostles' teaching, over and over and over again. It's not just 5 minutes, quickly get it out of the way, you know, done, cast my Bible aside now, I've done my quiet time, I've done my devotional. That's not really devotion, is it, if it's just 5 minutes of really quickly scanning the text? No. We need to be understanding the apostles' teaching. We need to be questioning what's there. What does this mean? How does this apply to my life? How do I submit to this? How do I live this out? And we need to be praying over the word. Bible reading and prayer are very close friends. If you read the Bible without prayer, then I don't know, I'm not sure you do. Like, it's a relationship with God when you read the Bible. So get your Bible open, pray that God would speak to you, read it, and then say, oh, I'm not doing this, or I could get better at that. I'm going to pray that in. Or if you're reading one of the Gospels and just seeing the life of Jesus, and you go to prayer and you say, oh, Jesus, I just love you. I thank you for this amazing miracle that I've just read. Or thank you for your death on the cross. Thank you for your resurrection. Prayer and Bible reading go hand in hand. And this is what it is to be devoted to the apostles' teaching, like the early church were. It is to come on a Sunday in gathered congregation to hear the word preached, but it's also to day by day get into the word, loving it, being devoted to it. Some of us are more devoted to a TV program or TV programs in general than we are devoted to the apostles' teaching through the word of God. But we want to be devoted disciples who love to read the Bible, because when we read the Bible, we hear the voice of God. We're told in the Bible that the author of the Bible is the Holy Spirit. Yes, human hands wrote it, and there's in one sense a human author of each different book of the Bible, but over it all, God was king, and his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is the author of the Bible. And so when we read these words, we are hearing the voice of God spoken to us. Are you devoted to the apostles' teaching? Are you devoted to reading and studying and hearing the word of God preached? Now, the second thing that the early church were devoted to, according to Acts 2, verse 42, is fellowship. The devoted disciples in Acts chapter 2 loved meeting together. They loved being with each other. Verse 46 says, day by day they were attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. Now, we don't meet every day as a church. Although, if we had 3,000 people who'd come to faith yesterday, and we had 12 apostles who were sharing in the leadership of the church, perhaps we would be able to put on meetings every single day. If we did do that, there wouldn't be an expectation that you would necessarily come every day, but there would be this opportunity to gather and be devoted to fellowship day by day. Although we don't meet every day, we do seek to mirror this model of fellowship that the believers were living out in the early church. We have Sundays, kind of the equivalent of gathering all together in the temple. The disciples went to the temple to gather and to hear the apostles' teaching. And so we have Sundays, which is kind of the equivalent of that. And then we have life groups, which is about fellowshipping and gathering together in one another's homes and eating together on some occasions. So we kind of mirror this fellowship that they're exemplifying to us in Acts chapter 2. They gathered in the temple and they gathered in one another's homes. We gather on a Sunday and we gather in one another's homes in life groups during the week. Now, when you are devoted to something, you make sacrifices to prioritize it. Thinking about an Olympian, think about an Olympian, whatever sport, you pick your favorite Olympic sport and think about the athletes who competed in that event. They devoted themselves to being the very best they could be at that particular sport. And they made sacrifices in order to be devoted to that. So you think about, you know, the runners. They have certain diets. They eat certain things. And they don't eat other things. They refuse to eat certain things because they know that have a negative effect on their body. And they want to be the best. They're devoted. They're making sacrifices in order to be the very best Olympian that they can be. And so I want to ask you, can you say, I am someone devoted to fellowship with my brothers and sisters? In fact, I'm prepared to give other things up in order to be devoted to the fellowship, devoted to relationship with the people in the church. If that's you, that means missing a Sunday is rare for you. And it hurts when you do miss those moments. Someone who's devoted to fellowship will want to be with the Lord's people, and it will be rare and it will hurt when you don't get to gather with the Lord's people. I'm not saying you need to be here every week, but you need to go, am I truly devoted to gathering? Am I, yeah, devoted to fellowship like the people were in Acts chapter 2? Now you'll notice that fellowship wasn't just about gathering together for the disciples in Acts chapter 2. No, it wasn't just that they gathered, it was also that they were generous to one another. They cared for each other. They were selling their possessions. They were sharing their possessions so that there was no one who had any need within the congregation of the church. That was part of fellowship. It wasn't just gathering together, it was also caring. And if you think about the day of Pentecost, what happens at the day of Pentecost is that many people are in Jerusalem from lots of different nations. And so there will be people who have come to Jerusalem to celebrate one of the feasts in the city of Jerusalem. They've heard the gospel when Peter has preached it, and they've decided to stay in Jerusalem. It says all the believers were together. They've decided to stay in Jerusalem to continue to receive from this teaching, to continue to grow in the knowledge of Christianity. So amongst the 3,000 Christians in Jerusalem, there are lots of needy people. There are people who don't have homes. There are people who probably have only brought enough money for like a week in Jerusalem, and they're staying there because they want to be devoted to this new body, this new group of believers. And so what the church does is says, well, we need to look after all these people who believe in Christ. They're our brothers and sisters. We need to care for them. We need to gather with them. So they would sell their possessions. They would sell their land, give to the church, and make sure that there was no needs within the church. And so it's not just being devoted to gathering together, it's also being devoted to genuine relationship with one another, praying for each other when people have needs, and even putting your hand in your pocket and giving to someone who is in need. That's the kind of fellowship we want to be devoted to in Christ Church Fareham. We want people to come into this church and go, hey, everyone has everything they need in Christ Church Fareham. And we go, yeah, that's because we care for each other. Some of us are richer than others, but the people who are richer give to those who have need when they do. And I do pray and hope that over time as we grow, more and more needy people would come into this church and we would be able to care for them and love them and have fellowship with them, show them the love of Christ by our generous hearts. So are you devoted to fellowship? There are football fans more devoted to supporting their team each week, supporting players with whom they have no personal relationship. All they do is shout their name at the top of their voice. There are some football fans who are more devoted to supporting their team than some of us are devoted to supporting each other in fellowship in this church. But we want to be devoted disciples who love to gather together because we know that where two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, there God is in our midst. He is with us. Where two or three people are gathered in Jesus' name, He is with us. Jesus is with us. And that's why that's one of the reasons we love fellowship, is because God meets us in fellowship. Thirdly, what are the believers devoted to? In verse 42, they're devoted to the breaking of bread. The devoted disciples love to eat together and they love to break bread, which is a reference to communion. The Christians would come round, have dinner with me, and before we have dinner, let's break bread. Let's remember the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross. They broke bread and they shared wine in remembrance of Jesus Christ giving his body and shedding his blood for us upon the cross. They remember that Jesus died. They remember that he was buried. They remember that on the third day he rose again in glory. And they were devoted to this practice of communion. There's a reason that we share communion every week in this church. It's because we want to be devoted to that way of remembering what Jesus has done for us. You know, there's lots of ways we meet with God, and there's lots of ways we learn when we gather as a people. We sing songs, and some people love singing, and other people, singing's not really their boat. They still join in, but they enjoy it less than others. We preach the word, and some people just are so hungry for preaching for the word. They go home on a Sunday afternoon and they look up other sermons from other preachers because they just love receiving great teaching. And other people find it harder to listen to a sermon. And so another way in which we encounter God in our services is a very tactile way, a very a moving way, I think, of encountering God. A more active and physical way of encountering God. We eat bread in memory that Jesus gave his body and we drink juice, or we use juice rather than wine, but we drink juice in memory that Jesus shed his blood. A very tactile, very physical way of encountering God. And what we believe is that those who eat and drink in a worthy manner, by which we mean someone who receives those things by faith, someone comes to the table with faith in Jesus, and they eat the bread and they drink the wine with faith in Christ and what he has done upon the cross. If you receive from the Lord's table in a manner worthy, then you will be spiritually nourished in that moment with the benefits of Jesus' death. Once again, being brought to you, being confronted with what Jesus has done for you. That's spiritual nourishment. And you will grow in grace. You know, part of the communion moment is to remember that we've done things wrong, that we've sinned, that we needed forgiveness, that Jesus needed to die for us. And so we come to the table with a humility and almost a sorrow where, oh, I've messed up, I've done things wrong. And then we receive with joy because Christ died for us so that we might be forgiven. Christ did not remain in the grave, he rose again in glory. And so there's this mixture of sorrow and joy when we come to the table. There's spiritual nourishment and there's a growth in grace as we receive and meet with God in this way. I want to ask you, are you devoted to breaking bread? Do you love this moment of encountering God in our services? And also, I'd encourage you, do you love to get people round your house to have dinner with them? Or do you love going round to other people's houses for them to cook you dinner? Depends on whether you love to cook or not. There are some people who are more devoted to fast food than they are devoted and love receiving from God in the Lord's Supper. We want to be devoted disciples who love to break bread. Fourthly, what are the believers devoted to? They are devoted to the prayers in verse 42. It actually doesn't say in the Greek that they are devoted to prayer in general. It says the prayers, which is quite an odd phraseology. They are devoted to the prayers. And what that means is, as believers, they were devoted to specific moments when the church would gather to pray. The prayers is like the prayer meetings. They were devoted to the prayer meetings. And now is a good time to mention that on the 5th of October, Tuesday the 5th of October, we have a prayer meeting. We're doing it once a month on the first Tuesday of every month. We're gathering together. I would love you, like the early church, to be devoted to the prayers by coming to those moments when we pray together. Of course, prayer is part of our Sundays. Prayer is part of our life groups, and we have this monthly routine of gathering specifically just to lift situations up to God, to praise him, to worship him, yes, but to just say, we need to pray for this. We need to pray for this person. We need to pray for this thing. We need to pray for God to move mightily and bring revival and save our town and do amazing things. We devote that time to prayer, and I want us as church to be devoted to those moments because we want to be like the early church and we want to be devoted like them. I'm challenged by Christianity in other countries. Do you know, in Africa, there is a tradition of all-night prayer meetings in Africa. And it's not just one or two churches, it's lots of churches in this continent. I'm sure it's specific countries where it's particularly a practice, but they'll gather and they'll spend all night praying and worshipping before God. Can we really say that we are devoted to prayer? Can we really call ourselves devoted to the prayers when there are brothers and sisters around the world who are putting us to shame in terms of their devotion to prayer? Devoted disciples love to pray because they love speaking with their Father in heaven. And they love to pray not only in secret and in private by themselves, but they also love to pray with other believers. I love praying with other people. They encourage me. They pray for different things than I pray for. And they remind me that I should be praying for some of the things that I've forgotten to pray about. And then they pray for me and they encourage me. And so I love hearing the prayers of lots of believers coming together, all praying, all bringing different things. Short prayers, long prayers, you know, deep theological prayers, just simple prayers. To be honest, often I love the simple prayers more than I love the deep theological prayers. So I apologize when I use long words in my prayers. But I love just simple prayers because it encourages me and it builds me up. And I think, yes, I'm with you. Amen. I agree. I'm with you in that prayer. We're both asking God the Father for the same thing. Are you devoted privately and corporately to praying to God? Four things in verse 42. that the believers were devoted to: the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Now the question is, why these things? Why are these the four things that they devoted themselves to? After the day of Pentecost and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, why did they decide to devote themselves to these four things? It's not legalism. They weren't devoted to these things because they thought, if we do these things, God will love us more. That's not what they were thinking in the slightest. These were people who had seen and experienced the love of Jesus Christ firsthand. They'd seen him die for them. They knew that God had loved them with an everlasting love and with a love that was deeper than any love that had ever been shown upon the cross. So it was not legalism. They did not do these things in order to earn more of God's love. No, they knew that God had loved them with this awesome, amazing love. It was not legalism. But I think there are three reasons why they devoted themselves to these four things. And the first one, I think, is the most important. These four things are the means God has appointed for us to meet with him. These four things are the means God has appointed for us to meet with him. I want to tell you about my best man. He's a guy called Alex. He's a cool guy. He's way cooler than me. And he's been my best friend for many years. I've known him for a long time. But he lives in Watford. And to be honest, neither of us are very good at picking up the phone and chatting. And so living a longer way apart, we haven't spent that much time together. So we decided a couple of years ago that we are going to create a way to make sure that we always meet up and spend time together. And so we said that every year we're going to watch the Super Bowl together. That's going to be our thing. Like, we're going to stay up late. To be honest, I don't even like American football that much, really. I kind of like it, but we're going to meet and we're going to watch the Super Bowl. And the reason we're going to do that is because that will become the means by which we will ensure that our friendship doesn't die. Every year we've got something in the diet that means we're going to spend 4 hours watching some boring American sport together, eating not very healthy food, and just hanging out. That is the means by which my relationship with Alex will be strengthened and continue for many, many years, hopefully until we die. Do you see, we've appointed means for our friendship. God wants to love us. God wants to be in relationship with us. God wants to strengthen us. He wants to guide us like a shepherd guides his sheep. And he has appointed means by which we would meet with him, by which he would put love into our hearts, by which he would pour out his Holy Spirit. And these four things are the means that God has appointed for the church and for Christians to meet with him. In the apostles' teaching, in the word, when we read the Bible, we meet with God. It's not just words on a page. It's God's voice spoken to us. And if we read full of the Holy Spirit, these things start to change us and shape us. And so we meet with God in the word and in the preaching. I hope some of you at some point have sat in a sermon and gone, wow, I'm meeting with God. The preacher's saying something. I'm not really listening to him, but God is speaking to me through what he's saying. It's a moment of encounter with God. And I hope you felt the same when you've read the Bible at some point. You've been reading the Bible and gone, wow, God is speaking to me. The word of God, the apostles' teaching, is one of the means that God has appointed for you to meet with him and for him to show you his love and his power and his glory. And so if you aren't devoted to it, then you are missing one of the ways that God has appointed for him to love you more. Do you see? In the fellowship, in the gathering of believers, God has appointed that to be a moment where we meet with God. Have you experienced that? We're all together singing and God meets with us. It's a blessing to gather with the fellowship because God wants to meet with us in that moment. It's the same with communion. When you take the bread and you drink the little cup, it's a moment of meeting with God. In taking communion, it's a moment of spiritually receiving from God. And the same with prayer. Perhaps prayer is the most obvious means by which we strengthen our relationship with God. We speak to him and he speaks to us. And so it's obvious. All these things are gifts. All these things are means of God blessing us and God meeting with us and our relationship being strengthened. So why were the believers devoted to these four things in Acts chapter 2? It's because they love God. They love him. They love him as Father, the Creator, the awesome power who gave all things, who created all things. They love their Father in heaven. They love Jesus Christ, the Son, who gave his life upon the cross, the one who, for them, they saw him in the flesh walking on the earth. They love him, and they love the Holy Spirit. He who comes and meets with us is God here with us in the midst. They love God. That's why they're devoted to these things. They're devoted to the word. They're devoted to breaking bread. They're devoted to fellowship. And they're devoted to the prayers because they love God and they want to meet with him in any possible way they can. And so they say, I'm going to be devoted to those things. That's the first reason, and probably the most important reason, they're devoted to these things. The second reason they are devoted to these things is in verse 43. Because in being devoted to these things, they saw God move miraculously. They saw signs and wonders, healings and miracles. And do you remember 2 weeks ago we said we can't manufacture these amazing spiritual moments. We can't click our fingers and say, like, Holy Spirit come, and God just does whatever we tell him to. And so I'd love it if we could, actually. You know, on a Sunday morning we gather and I'd get up the front and I'd go, right, I'm just going to click my fingers and we're all going to just fall on the floor as we experience the Holy Spirit in power. We can't manufacture, because it's a sovereign move of God. He decides when to pour out his Holy Spirit. It's the same with these healings and signs and wonders and miracles. Healing belongs to God. He is the great healer. Miracles belong to God. So we can't manufacture these things. But when we commit ourselves to these things, we leave more space for God to move miraculously and powerfully. If you are devoted to prayer, you are way more likely to see healing, because you're praying for healing and you're asking God to move, and God pours out his Holy Spirit and does miracles. So the second reason why the believers were devoted to these things is because as they were doing these things, God was moving miraculously and signs and wonders were happening. Thirdly, then, the third reason why they were devoted to these things is in verse 47. In being devoted to these things, God added to their number. Day by day, new people were believing in Christ and entering the church. In their devotion, God was on the move. Now again, we can't manufacture salvation. Salvation belongs to God. It is him who saves. But it makes sense to me that God would save often when we're trusting him, when we're devoting ourselves to the things that God wants us to devote ourselves to, when we're preaching the apostles' teaching, when we're praying for people to get saved, when we're loving each other in fellowship and we're eating together, when we're devoted to those things, it makes sense that God would move and begin to save people and bring them into the kingdom. So we can't manufacture salvation, but what the believers were seeing is, hey, we're doing these things and people are getting saved. Let's keep doing these things. You know, at university, I had a philosophical clash with another Christian in the Christian Union, a good friend of mine. We both wanted to see people saved, but we had very different philosophies about how that might happen. And so my friend would often miss church and miss Christian Union meetings, and they would say, oh, I'm meeting with my non-Christian friends. I'm hanging out with them, and I'm sharing the gospel with them. I'm going on mission. And in going on mission, we're missing the gatherings of the church and gathering, not being devoted to the fellowship, essentially. And I had a different approach. My approach was that I had non-Christian friends. I played hockey. I lived in a house with one other Christian and 3 non-Christians. But when it came to church, when it came to Christian Union, I would say to my friends, I can't do that thing, because I've got church, or I'm going to the Saturday evening Christian Union meeting. You guys head on out into town. I can't come. I'm going to... And, you know, by the time I got to second or third year, people would start to say to me, how come you always want to do that and not this? Like, we love this. Why do you love that? And so people would genuinely come to ask me and say, can I come to Christian Union on the Saturday evening? Because you seem to really love it, and I want to know why you love it so much, so I'm going to come. And my housemate Rob got saved, essentially, because he said, you guys always go to that, and I go out drinking, and you seem to enjoy that more than I enjoy this, so I'm going to... And he came, and he heard the gospel, and then he said, I think I might come to church on the Sunday as well, because you seem to enjoy that as well. And so he heard the gospel, and slowly he starts to receive the truth of the good news of Christ, and then he reads John's gospel and gives his life to Christ. Now, so I admired my friend. They were really good at like building relationships and sharing the gospel. They were really good at that. But I think, in a sense, God used my devotion to the fellowship and to the teaching and to prayers and to the breaking of bread, because I just said, those are my priorities in life. And I had the joy of seeing my friend come to know Jesus Christ, which began with a, why do you always do that? I'm interested in. So what I'd encourage you is, be devoted to these things in Acts chapter 2, because I believe if we do that as a church, God will move. God will bring salvation. God will bring healings, miracles, and signs as we pray for those things. And more than either of those things, the most important, God will meet with us, because these are the means. This is what God has appointed for us to meet with God. Don't you want to have a better relationship with God, a stronger relationship, a deeper relationship? Well, devote yourselves to the apostles' teaching, to the word of God. Devote yourselves to fellowship. Devote yourselves to the breaking of bread, and devote yourselves to the prayers. I don't preach this in a frustrated, judgmental way. I preach this in love, and I'm preaching to myself as well. I really believe if we increase our devotion in these things, our relationship with God will be closer, more wonderful, and more life-giving than ever before, because these are gifts that God has given to the church. Now, are you devoted to the apostles' teaching? Are you devoted to fellowship? Are you devoted to the breaking of bread? Are you devoted to the prayers? And I want to lead us in a response. And the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to invite us to confess that we haven't been devoted to some of these things. So I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. And if with me you want to say to God, I haven't been devoted enough to some of these things, perhaps one of these things in particular, I just encourage you. I mean, you don't have to do this. No one's checking. I'm going to keep my eyes closed as well. I'm not going to look around the room. But I just encourage you just to raise your hand and say, yeah, Lord, I'm going to confess that I haven't been as devoted to one or some of these things as I should have been. Let that action, let that response be a moment of confession before God. Lord, we confess that the early church are kind of outrunning us, Lord. We confess that we have not been devoted to these things as we should have been. We've not been devoted to the word of God. We've not been devoted to fellowship. We've not been devoted to the breaking of bread. We've not been devoted to the prayers. We've been devoted to other things more than we've been devoted to you. And we just confess that before you, Lord. We thank you that Jesus died on the cross for our sin, that we are forgiven, that you welcome us, that your love for us has not decreased because our devotion hasn't been where it should have been. But Lord, we now ask that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit, that we might live these things with a greater devotion, that we might truly be devoted disciples of Jesus Christ. If that's your prayer, why don't you stretch out your hands as though receiving the Holy Spirit? You want to say, yes, Lord, I want this devotion of the early church, Lord. Holy Spirit, come, move in our midst. Lord God, we pray. Lord, we want you to move in our lives. We want you to increase our love and devotion to you. Thank you, Lord. And finally, I'm just going to pray for us as a church. Lord, as your people in here in Fareham, we want to be devoted to these things. We want to see lives transformed, people coming into our midst, people being added to our number day by day. We want to see healings and signs and miracles and wonders, Lord. So we ask that you would do those things. But most of all, Lord, we want you. You are our Father. You are our Saviour. You're just so good. We love you so much, Lord. And we thank you that you've said, hey, these are the ways that you can meet with me. These are the ways that you can encounter me. And so, Lord, I say, as a church, may we be devoted to these things, Lord. Please, Lord, this is the church that we want to build, a church devoted to the apostles' teaching, devoted to the word of God, devoted to fellowship, loving, hanging out with each other, caring for each other, make sure there are no needs in our midst, Lord God. Lord, we want to be devoted to the breaking of bread, that moment of communion where we meet with you gloriously through the bread and through the wine. And Lord, we want to be devoted to the prayers, Lord. I pray you'd make us a prayerful church, Heavenly Father. Why? Because we love you. And you are so good. So we thank you, Lord, for this challenge. And I pray it wouldn't just be a moment of response now on a Sunday, but it would now be a life. It would now be the days and weeks and months ahead where we would live out devotion to these things, helped by the great helper, the Holy Spirit, who is with us always. Lord, we love you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.